Episode 4, Kai and Mark Talk Mining. Hey, Mark, how are you doing? Before we dive into our topic today, CEOs and good, bad, and the red flags about them, we want to talk quickly about the markets and how COVID is developing in South America. You wanted to give us an update on that. And let's start with the good, the gold market, and then we'll transition over to the bad, the COVID situation down south.
There's two general things I've got about the market at the moment. One is the gold market, and the other is COVID-19. The gold market, I'm not really looking at it as a day-to-day market. I mean, that kind of dig on the hour a day with gold bullion doesn't really concern me that much. But what we're seeing on a week-to-week basis now is very bullish for gold. I mean, I really do like the action. And the right people are buying bullion as well. And I think the gold market's looking really good. If it stays at 17, I'm happy.
Yeah, it was a good sign that it held 1700 today as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, and if it goes higher, you know, for me, going higher right now is more like a bonus. You know, eventually, it should move higher, but if it can hold 17, well, I don't think anybody could be complaining. So that's the good one. And the bad one is COVID-19 in Latin America, because it's not really going very well all of a sudden down here. And I don't think a lot of people up in the north are seeing or getting the feeling that things aren't good.
No, I've just pointed to the Vancouver Sun website. There's no content about what's going on in South America. Nothing, not mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to cause them like panic like that. But I mean, it's more like I'm trying to categorize this for myself, like putting things into groups and seeing the difference between what's happening now with industrialized nations and developing nations. Let's call them those, you know, for want of better phrases. And we're kind of going into a second phase now, where in the industrialized nations, if the government or the national policies were good, they stopped COVID-19. No. To a greater or lesser extent. No. And then if they were bad, they've had a bad time. Bad time, for example, Italy, UK, I'd include the United States, others as well. So if you're in an industrialization, you're having somewhere between an okay time and a bad time. Whereas in the developing nations, I mean, and my example, my focus is Latin America naturally, if the government is putting in good policies, things are now bad. It's like bad is like the best it gets. And there are exceptions. I'm not saying it. I'm not blanketing here. Like Costa Rica, for example, has done very, very well. But, I mean, over the length and breadth of Latin America, even when the governments have had good policies in, things aren't going well now. And the nightmare scenario happens when you have bad government policies and a relatively poor nation. And we're beginning to see that, for example, in Nicaragua. Nicaragua could be a serious humanitarian problem.
Yeah, they haven't done anything. Nothing implemented.
Yeah, but it's not just like the government malfeasance there. Even in countries that have been responsible, for example, Chile. Did you see that this week?
Yeah, I think they announced this morning that Santiago is being quarantined now because they had a 60% surge in cases overnight.
Exactly. I mean, Chile is the richest country in South America. It's done everything well. And Piñera government has been generally lauded for the way they've approached. And they open up Santiago de Chile, the capital, and suddenly, bang, we're locked down again. It's not going to be easy, Kai. I tell you, it's not going to be easy.
No, I spoke to a company as well this morning, and their geo is in Santiago. And their exploration is pretty much on hold now. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
Right? So it does actually have implications for what we're doing here. That's why it is worth talking about. And South America is a big mining hub, right? So it's worth talking
about. And it's my personal wheelhouse as well. So, I will always care.
Let's get on to our topic of the day. We hinted at CEOs, how to back the jockey. And maybe we should explain first where we're coming from with our
title. Okay, so the racehorse, you are following the good jockeys. And in the case of the mining industry, you are looking for good CEOs who will naturally be gravitating towards the good deposits, or the kind of CEO that can make a modest deposit into a profitable one.
Okay.
So there you go. Jockey in the horse.
That's exactly the meaning behind it. Yeah. And where we're going to look at good, bad, and ugly, or red flags for mining CEOs. And you had a good one as a as good. You don't. We didn't want to talk about the bad too much, but there's quite a few good qualities that we're looking for in CEOs, and I think we should talk about those.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to talk about it too much, and I'm not going to start pointing fingers at particular people either. I don't see the point. But and also, I mean, there's a classic list of how to be a great CEO. Go to human resources, and there's courses, and there's checklists, and you go, okay, they've got to do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and that's all fine. I have no problem with that. I'm just gonna emphasize one more than anything else because it's a basic one, and it's something I just see lacking all the time in junior mining, not necessarily other places, but junior mining, and that's delegation. Finding a CEO that delegates correctly in this space is very important because there are a lot that don't. And when I come across a company and they're doing it right, it's a green flag. But there are too many CEOs who are they don't know how to delegate correctly.
Let's drill down on that because there's a whole rat tail sort of attached to delegation that comes with it, right?
What do you mean?
Like good management teams attract good GOs or good VPXs that they work together. Yeah. And a good delegation also means a respectful delegation, and there's a respectful way of dealing with each other. And we've been on site visits together so we can witness firsthand how the team actually interacts or if they're just barking at each other.
But what it is a good CEO, as long as they'll give as much responsibility to the second level or the C-suite or the third level, the VPXs and the VP this and that. If they are given responsibility, they'll attract the people who are good because that's what happens.
Well, people want to work with them, right?
Yeah, people want to work to their maximum expression. So if the CEO delegates to them correctly, they will attract the right people. This is not reinvention of the wheel either. This is something that's very typical in other sectors of business, which is sorely lacking in junior mining. That's my point.
Now, is that also a functionality because management teams are so small, like oftentimes in the early stage companies, so that they have to take on a lot of responsibility themselves? And let me speak from personal experience. I've run SOAR Financial for 8 years by myself, and now having somebody else on board being able to delegate is actually quite difficult to do because I have been doing it myself. Yeah. So is that maybe a function of that as well?
Could be. I mean, the things with junior miners, I mean, the smaller the team, the actual more important is to delegate correctly. It's like the other way around. I mean, I see where the ego problem comes from. I mean, it's often a person. It could be a geologist or an engineer, and they have a project, and they are building their exploration dream snipes around this. And so there is a lot of personal attachment involved a lot of the time. And also the type of people who get to the top, they are more charismatic and tend not to be able to let go as easily.
Good point. What are a couple of things that put you off completely? Are there some things you want to mention, like that? Like the second you see it, you just turn around and it's like, okay, doesn't even a second look won't make a difference.
There are things, yeah. When it comes to the bad habits, I don't think I really want to go there. What I will say, there are some things that some people think are important, I don't think are important. For example, the simple likability of the person. Okay. I really don't care if I get on with the CEO or not. I don't care at all. I mean, I'll give you one straight example. Mark Bristow, there's someone who I'll never go out drinking with, who is probably the best mining CEO in the world.
Okay, no, that's so perfect example. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I actually fell over that hurdle before where I dismissed a company where I could have invested, actually made some money because I just couldn't stand the CEO. I just couldn't.
I've done it before. I mean, I think it's a classic. It's like we will fall for it sometimes. Yeah.
Again, I slept well though, but that was fine. So, like one golden rule I have: if a CEO owns a bar, and I've had that happen to me more than once, or a restaurant, or a part owner, or something like that.
Or restaurant, that's right. The bar or the restaurant.
It's that's a red flag, and I need to take a very close look again. And oftentimes, over time, the company has failed. And
correlation, causation, that shouldn't be anything there.
Shouldn't be, but I've had it happen for like four times to me. So there is a certain pattern, and I'm speaking from experience over the last 10 years. So that's for me definitely a red flag. Another one for me, and maybe not as much for you, where you in a previous conversation you actually softened my point, is flaunting.
What? Sorry?
Flaunting. Like being
the boastful man.
Yeah, boastful. Exactly. Walking around with Louis Vuitton bags and fancy watches and like just generally overdoing it.
Yeah, but if the guy's effective, I don't have a problem. And if they want to live their life their way, that's fine. All I want to see. I mean, again, we're back to, do I like the guy? Does it matter?
Yeah, but if he sits in a meeting next to you, he's wearing his Louis Vuitton sunglasses and he's asking you for money. Like, I have a hard time with it. It's humility, maybe as well. Like, I'm maybe looking for it to a degree. Like,
I get you. Yeah. I get you. If he's an ostentatious idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about, it's really easy to dismiss, yeah? If he's an ostentatious idiot and does know what he's talking about, you know what I've got to do? I've got to suck it up. I've got to take it.
Good point. Yeah, it comes down to me personally liking him personally, I guess. So it comes to that point again. Yeah. And being able to dismiss it. Let's do some Q&A. We got some questions in, and one is here from Farming, Nick Avery, Nicholas Avery here on Twitter. And you answered the first part of the question already. So is it possible to be an absolute asshole but still a world-class CEO? So you answered that part.
Yes.
And the other one is whether you originally came up with a moniker, the Clive, in reference to Clive Johnson, of CEO of B2Gold.
Yes, that was me.
Lily Capatori is asking on Twitter, why does Otto hate Keith so much? And I don't know the history. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't think he's a very good CEO. I mean, it's not a case of hater. It's just he's very ineffectual CEO and doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Lily asked, you answered, all good to me.
Yeah, okay.
Vanessa Pickering's actually asking one, and you know Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa. I know her virtually. I've never met her in person, but I know her virtually.
Good person. You should meet. And the question is, like, the adage about CEOs that have been successful once and therefore are likely to be again, and whether it's sometimes just dumb luck and whether it leads to a bigger ego, and the difference between dumb luck CEOs, let's call them that, and great CEOs in terms of ego. There is a difference.
Okay, so the two categories exist. I mean, all CEOs are not dumb luck, and all CEOs are not geniuses. I mean, there are examples of both. If for the genius end, for the smart end, I would look for serial success and not just one success. I mean, that's the easy marker. For example, Sean Roosen. Okay, there we go. There's an example of a person who has been seriously and serially successful, and nobody can doubt his credentials.
No, that's true.
What's the other one? The dummos. The dummos, whatever. And the thing is, with some people, they didn't realize that they got lucky. And, they've hit their mother load for life, and they're happy with what they've got. But there are others who suddenly think that because their VP exploration stole 80 meters of 6 gram gold, they can suddenly pontificate on COVID-19 and football and hockey and whatever. No, they are some places. Okay. So there's people like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. One last question. And I'm adding to that question as well. It's Cossington Bear is asking, would it be possible for you to explain why some CEOs engage in the fine art of great smearing and what they hope to achieve by doing this?
Deception. That's easy. Yeah. whatever a company does to become less transparent and give less real information to the public is exactly the same arrow pointing exactly the same direction. So great smearing is one example.
Okay. And one thing, like, if a CEO does great smear, do you have a shit list? Does he make it on it? Or do you have a written down shit list? Yeah. No. Mental.
No, I don't have a written down shit list. I have a mental shit list. Excuse me. I have a mental bad list, yes. No. But no, these things don't get written down. They just get remembered.
Okay. Yeah. No, for sure. Cool. Mark, we hit our time limit. We tried to make it snappier this time. And we're right around the proper mark here, so really appreciate you coming on, and stay safe down in Lima, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks so much. Ciao.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of SOAR Financial, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither SOAR Financial nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Neither the program participants nor SOAR Financial guarantee any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on the program. Strategies or investments discussed may fluctuate in price or value. Investments or strategies mentioned in this program may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You should strongly consider seeking advice from your own investment advisor. Do your own due diligence.